so good to see everybody here. Good to see everybody here and to see our visitors with us too. And good to have you. Hope you feel welcome. Come back when you, if you have opportunity. Hope you feel welcome and we'll want to. We try to do the will of God and do things by the Bible. And if you have any questions about what we do or say, just feel free to ask. We'll be happy to study with you and whatever we can do to meet your needs. All right, so we've been looking at a series of lessons about the home. We started looking at the godly home as led by godly fathers. So we did a lesson dedicated to the father's role. Then we did one about the mother's role and how important it is to have godly fathers and godly mothers. And had a lesson last week on marriage in general, so we're glad of that. So I want to tag the final in this series about godly homes need godly children. And so children, listen up and be very attentive and take notes and see if there are ways that you might help the home be a godly home. By godly, I mean that you're respectful to God's desires, you want to do the right thing in your life, and you want to be helpful to help your family go to heaven. So there are things you can do. Fathers can help the children and the mother to go to heaven. The mothers can help the father and the children to go to heaven. The children can help mama and dad go to heaven too and help yourself. So we're all trying to help each other go to heaven. That's the idea of godliness, is that we're God-thinking people. We're going in line with what God thinks. So let's think about some ways that we can be a difference maker. And that's what Jesus said when he says, you are the light of the world. That means, yeah, you don't look around at the world and find godly people. You find ungodly people. They're not associated with the church usually. Well, that's a worldly person. If they're a church-going person, that's a godly person. If they're not, then you're probably looking and most likely looking at a worldly person. Church is about God's people, centered around God. And so we want to be godly people, different than the world. You are the light. You can be the light in your home as well. So I'm going to talk about some things that children can do in the home. Doesn't matter what age, if you can hear and understand what I'm saying, you can do some things that will help make your home a godly home and one that will bring glory to God, that will honor God. First thing, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And here, Paul spells it out. Yeah, here's some things. He's talked about what the members of the church are expected to do, and then he breaks down the different categories of members of the church. And in this category, in chapter 6, he talks about children and what children can do. So when this letter was first read, children had to tune in, had to tune out what they were thinking about, and tune into this statement. Children, obey your parents. That means do what they say. Not only that, but it means to do it willingly, because you want to, because you know it's right. Do it because it's the right thing to do. And I know there's a tendency a lot of times for us to be aggravated because they're telling us to do something when I want to play with this toy, or I want to do this, I want to do something I want to do, and then they're telling me to do something I don't want to do. Well, if they're telling you to clean your room, you know what you need to do? Clean your room. That's obeying your parents. Now, they're not trying to do anything to hurt you or destroy you. They love you so much. You just got to remember to appreciate that love, to be helpful. When they say do something, that means obey them. God says, I want you to obey your parents in the Lord. As they're asking you to do things, it's for your own good and for the good of the entire family, so that you're not just thinking about what I want to do. Because if you're always thinking about what I want to do, then you become a very self-centered person. You don't want that. You want to be thinking about others too and how you fit in the group and that it's not all about you and the world doesn't revolve around you. So obey your parents. Think about obeying them because you love them. Think about obeying them because it's the right thing to do, because God expects that of you. And along that same line, he goes on to say, he says that's the right thing to do, but he says, he quotes a verse out of Exodus 20 where the children of Israel heard this command, honor your father and mother, honor them. That is a little more than obeying. Strictly obeying means I'm just going to do what they said, but you can do that resentfully. You don't want to do it resentfully. That is, you don't go at it, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to have to do it. Well, they're going to stay on my case. No, you don't want to act that way. You want to honor them. You see, they're taking care of you. They're footing the bills. They're working. They're making sure that you have your needs met, and they're trying to raise you up so that you'll make good decisions and go to heaven. That's why they're doing what they do. They're doing what they're doing because they love you. They love you so much, but it sure would make their job a whole lot easier if you would honor them. That is, you would think, well, you know, I love them. I want them to go to heaven. I want them to be happy. So honor your father and your mother. I notice there's something about honoring your father and mother that goes through life. I mean, it's not just when you're in the home. That is, you probably will reach a point, you know, when you will leave home. You'll leave father and mother, cleave to your wife or your husband, whatever. You'll establish your own home. But I hope that you will carry with you in that an honor for your parents even after you leave home. Honor them. Jesus had something to say about that back in Matthew chapter 15. I want you to notice Matthew chapter 15, something about honoring the father and mother beyond just doing what they're saying because they're bigger than you and they're the heads and leaders of this family unit. One day you'll be the heads of your own family unit, but then you still need to honor them. Listen to this. Matthew 15, verse 1. He says, but he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? And he gave an example where they weren't respectful of God's commandment because they developed their own tradition, their way of doing things. That's a tradition. You got your own way of doing things, but it doesn't match up with what God said do. And he gave an example of how they did that. That is how they transgressed God's commandment, but they honored their own tradition, their own way of doing things. Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. That's God's commandment. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. The law of Moses was pretty blunt about that, that if a child didn't respect their parents and would dishonor them and curse them, that child was to be taken out and stoned to death. Now that's pretty serious, isn't it? Because God is serious, and he was serious about the consequences of not respecting and honoring father and mother. But he says, now, that's what God commanded, but here's what you do. You say, verse 5, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple. In other words, mom and dad, I know you're in pretty difficult situation now. You know, this is talking to grown-up children now that have their own home, but they're not taking care of their parents. You see, there comes a point in time where roles change. And there ought to be such an honor for father and mother that you take care of them after they get to where they can't take care of themselves properly. So you honor them in their older age. Well, these children will say, well, you know what? I don't have any money, Mom and Dad, because you see, I dedicated that to the temple. See, I was doing religious things here. God says, no, you don't act that way. You honor your father and your mother. And that means you take care of them. You love them so much that you take care of their needs. You see, it goes beyond just living in the house under the big folks, the taller folks, the folks that are trying to direct you in the right way. When you grow up, you'll get a little taller than they are. You see, parents start shrinking an inch or two after a while. But you keep growing up, and sometimes, I looked up to my son. After a while, he got taller than I was. There are times, then, that you will now take charge because you're the head of your own house, but that doesn't mean Mom and Dad are out of the picture now. You still honor them. You see, honoring parents because they deserve it. And one, they took care of you. They took care of you from a baby on up. They still love you. They still care for you. They've centered their world around you. They love you through thick and thin. Now, we may get some friends that don't honor their parents. But don't let that influence you. You honor your parents regardless because they're the ones that love you. Now, these friends come and go. They're not going to be there for you in a hard time. In a difficult time, they'll have no use for you. But Mom and Dad will. You see, they're the ones that love you with all of their heart. They're committed to your welfare here. And if they're godly parents, they want you to go to heaven, and they'll help you in any way that they can to help you go to heaven. So children, you can obey them because they're not trying to get you to do bad things, things that will ruin your life. They're trying to get you to do good things. You can do that. I can obey parents that want good things for me and want my life to go in a good direction. I can honor such people as that. So honor them. Honor them. That means also then, take care of them in their older age. Here's a third thing that we can do as children. You can have your own faith. You see, Mom and Dad are sharing their faith, hoping that they can direct you in the way of heaven. But somewhere along the line, every godly parent says, you know, I want you to do things because that's what you believe, not because that's what I believe. I want you to believe. Is it right? Did I tell you right? If I told you wrong, I don't want you to believe it. But I want you to test it, and if it's right, believe it because it's right. If it's God's will, I want you to have your own faith. To stand on your own 2 feet. I want it to be your conviction, not your conviction that Mom and Dad will be displeased with me if I don't. Parents want you to have your own faith eventually. Somewhere along the line, you ought to mature enough to have your own faith. Now, why is that important? Well, that's very important because it's the difference between actually going to heaven and just desiring to go to heaven. You see that? Proverbs is a book that is written for young people. It is a book of wisdom. So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Let's notice some things here. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear. That is, he'll listen. A wise man will hear. And he will increase learning. He just gets better and better because he gets wiser and wiser because he's learning. He's paying attention. He's listening. Well, that's the idea of Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Y'all remember that memory verse we had memorized? Faith comes by hearing. Well, and then I've got to hear because I need to have faith. Listen to the Word of God and it will produce conviction in you. It needs to be your own conviction. That is, you don't make it up what to believe, but you believe what you need to believe because it's been presented to you. So A person who is wise, who starts to have their own faith, is soaking it in. They're not tuned into, you know, drawing pictures. There is a point in time where you put away childish things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I did things that children do. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Sometimes we're caught in a developmental process. And somewhere along the line, we've got to reach a point where I'm not just doing things anymore because that's what my parents expect of me, but I'm doing things because God expects that of me. And I want to please God. And what God wants us to do right now is to tune in to the Word of God. In fact, incline the ear. You know, a lot of times the preacher gets up, a lot of children as an average, smaller ones especially, they tune out, not completely, but tune out, because this is time for me to draw. That's what we get in habits. This is time for me to draw. Nothing wrong with that if you are a small child. Nothing wrong with that. If you can get to a point, though, in your development where you can tune in, incline the ear, where that this is important to me now. This is more important to me than this. When you get to that mature level, that level of maturity where you can tune drawing out and tune in to the lesson, then you start taking your paper, you know, that we hand out, and you start filling it in, and you start making notes, and say, that was a good point there. I got to remember that, and make you some points, because you're tuned in to the lesson. That's inclining the ear. We usually incline our ears to things that are important to us. If it's important to you, you incline to it. You know, when somebody is talking about things I'm interested in, you know, and of a secular point, I usually, that's my topic there. Could be, you know, it could be sports, it could be music, it could be lots of things. I like hiking, I like things like that, the nature. You tell me about a good new nature trip, I incline my ear to that. I like that, because that's not what I'm interested in. Now, that's one of the things I'm interested in, but that's nothing compared to my interest in spiritual things. See, that somebody's talking about spiritual things, that's my topic right there. That's my topic. That ought to be every Christian's topic. That's the reason Mom and Dad became Christians, is because it caught their ear. They inclined their ear to it. All right, so incline your ear. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure them, treasure my commands within you. That is, you really value them. They are treasures to you. So that you incline your ear. Inclining means you tune in to that. You don't tune out, you tune in. You incline your ear to wisdom. And apply your heart to understanding. Applying your heart to understanding is part of really, really listening. So somewhere along the line, the childish things that we do in our growth process needs to be, you know, temper those things on out and incline that ear, incline that mind, that heart, incline it toward the spiritual things that will get you to heaven. Because these other things, they're not going to help you go to heaven. At a certain age, you're probably not aware of that. But let your awareness to God's Word become more and more important to you. Look again in chapter 1. Look at verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9 says, my son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. Now, we're not talking about, you know, the ball and chain kind of thing. This is just so heavy. They're chains, they're decorative, beautiful necklaces. That's the chain that we're talking about. They're necklaces that beautify your life. How is that? Well, they're not physical chains. It's that the instructions decorate your life and make it a whole lot better. Because you're wiser, you know how to deal with things a lot better in life. So really pay attention. Really pay attention, because those things that mom and dad are telling you, especially if they're principles of God's Word, if that's the case, then they're going to decorate your life with good things. You'll grow up, be an honorable person, a respectful person. You'll be a person that people admire. You'll be the light of the world. You'll show how people need to live instead of just going along with blind people that don't know how to live. So incline your ear and pay really close attention. Children can do that. You can do that because you're wise enough to do that. There's another thing. Children can fear the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about fear like things I don't like to be around. I don't like to see them. I don't like spiders. I know spiders have a place, but I don't like them. They're creepy to me. I'm scared of spiders to an extent. Now, I don't want them to stay in my house, so I'll overcome that fear enough to swat them and get them out. You know, I don't like lizards in my house. See one in the house, they're creepy, but, you know, I'll catch them and I'll throw them out, but I'm jittery in the whole process. I don't like it. That's yucky to me. You know, I will, you know, I don't like handling snakes. I will grab one if I have to. But you see, that's a respectful fear of them. I don't know all the kinds of spiders that might could bite you and could, you know, produce some great discomfort to you. So I don't like them from the standpoint, I don't know all the ones that might be a brown recluse from a black widow. I do know a black widow. You know, that's pretty easy. But there are some spiders that just creep me out because, you know, I don't know about that one. Some snakes are that way. You know, I'm not scared of every snake, but I'm really respectful of a poisonous one. And so I have learned basically what a poisonous snake looks like versus the one that's not poisonous. So I'm not as scared as the non-poisonous, but I really respect that poisonous one, because you see, that one could do some damage, and I don't want to have to go through that. So now, here's the thing about the fear of God. We're not talking about the fear of God in the same way. We're not talking about being afraid of God. We are respectful of the Lord and hold Him in awe. That's the kind of fear that we're talking about. When something just really is amazing to you and is awe-inspiring, that gets your attention, because this is a wow thing. This is a thing that you say, you know, this can be dangerous in some way, but this is just magnificent. You know, this. I can stand on the top of a mountain peak and feel a little bit shaky, because I'm looking out and I'm awed by what I see and where I am. So I am going to be a little bit more nervous about what I see, because it is a beautiful place, but I've got to respect myself in relationship to this that I'm seeing, because I can get blown off, or I can get a little bit unsteady and I can fall off this. And so I've got to be very, very respectful and awe and in awe of this great person that created the universe. I mean, I'm looking from a mountaintop at just a part of it. But God is greater than that. So the, just looking from the mountaintop, that says, wow, awe, I'm in awe. But then when I think, well, God is greater than that. God is the one that created all of this. So he deserves even more fearful awe and respect than what I'm looking at in this limited way. But I need to be so awed by him. God wants me to be awed to the point that I am drawn to him because of his love. And that tempers being afraid to being drawn to him. You know, John talks about perfect love casts out fear. Fear, in that sense, is that you're now not just afraid of him, but because he's so powerful and he's so awesome, but you respect his awesomeness. But what draws you to him is his great, that he loved you and he gave his life on the cross for you, and that ought to teach you to draw closer to him, to get closer to him, not stand off from him, but to feel, hey, he wants me to draw near to him, drawn into his awesome love. Children can do that. You can have faith enough also to stand alone. What I mean by that, there are things that people in school will say, and you got to feel like, well, if I'm going to be accepted in this group, I've got to use that kind of language. Well, you got to realize, no, you don't have to use that kind of language. They're using that kind of language because they don't have godly principles. They don't understand those. They use that language because they're worldly and ungodly people. You've got to be able to stand on your own two feet and say, well, if they accept me or they don't accept me, this is the right thing to do. I'm not going to talk like that. And you've got to, oh, there are times when they want to undress. And you've got to have your standard that says, no, I believe that we ought to keep our clothes on. And I think we ought to also keep our clothes on at a decent level. We ought to be decent in our manner, in our behavior, but we also ought to be decent in the way that we present ourselves. So, yeah, that's the way they're doing it, but they're doing it because they don't have any guidelines. They don't know any better. Nobody's taught them godly principles. So I'm going to refrain from talking like that and dressing like that. See that? Because Paul says godly people need to have a manner about themselves that is different than the world. 1 Timothy chapter 2 talks about that. So children can know that. You can stand on your own principles. You can also avoid drinking. You know, they may be having a high old time, so to speak, and that's a little literal too. They think they're having fun and you're feeling excluded because, hey, we don't drink at our house. We don't do that. We don't fool around with drugs or alcohol. But now you're feeling a little bit isolated, and now, hey, they're not including me anymore because I keep reminding them that's wrong, and they don't like people reminding them that that's wrong. So you've got to have your own faith, and you've got to have your faith that's strong enough to stand alone when it's necessary. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. Don't go along. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. In other words, they're going to pounce on somebody that comes by this location, and they're going to rob them. Get some easy money. It says, Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll find all kinds of precious possession. No telling how much money they're carrying in their billfold. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot with us. Don't you want some easy money? Let us all have one purse. And then the wisdom comes back and says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Don't get in that crowd. Keep your foot from their path. You know who they are. You know what they're doing, what they're getting involved in is not right. Well, get you some better friends than that. You don't need those friends. Stand on your own two feet. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. I mean, if you can see the net, don't get in it. A bird has enough sense to say, hey, if I see that net, I'm not going to fly into it. And most of the time they fly into a net because they didn't see it. But if you see the net, you know that it's going to trap you and it's going to destroy you. So if you know that here are some people fooling around with drugs and alcohol, you know that, don't run with them. Don't get in that crowd. Have your own faith that says, I'm going to stand alone if necessary. 1 Corinthians 15 says, good behavior produces good results, and bad behavior corrupts good morals. If they've got bad behavior, well, avoid that. Go in a better direction. Stand on your own two feet. Know what you believe. And don't just say, well, mom and dad won't approve. Let's just say you won't approve. That's when you've got your own faith, is I don't approve of that. Don't blame it on mom and dad. Don't fall back on that. You know they're not going to approve, but what about you? Do you approve of that? So you see, you've got to stand on your own two feet and stand alone. Sometimes it won't be popular. You can't be popular all the time. In fact, Jesus wasn't popular all the time. In fact, they hated him and they crucified him. So just remember that. You're in good company if you're in company with Jesus. Have faith enough to make good personal choices. Good personal. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but just lean on the Lord. And that is kind of like what Joseph did. Joseph was in a situation where Potiphar's wife tried to get him to do evil, all of that pressure, but Joseph stood up on his own two feet and says, I'm not going to sin against my God. I'm not going to sin against my God. When everybody else wouldn't stand up to the giant, David had his own faith. He believed that with God, I can go against a troop. I can go against anything with God by my side. So he stood up to a giant. He was a young man. Joseph was a very young man. David was a young man. So it doesn't matter about your age. If you trust in God and you trust in God with all of your heart, you see, you are going to be the future of the church. The Lord's church is going to go on with or without us. But let it be with us. You're the future leaders of the Lord's church. The church of Christ will be as strong as you make it. You got complaints about the church of Christ? Get in there and make it stronger. Get in there and you help it. If it needs help, you help it. You take it upon yourself because you've got your own faith to do that. And finally, godly homes make a huge difference in the world. Because some people, they may not say it right now, but later on, they say, you know what? You stood your ground when I didn't, and I'm ashamed the way I did. Later on, they'll look back and say, I admired you so much. They may not have told you at that time, but they will eventually say, I admired you because you stood your ground and you believed in what you believed. And it was right. You were right, and I was wrong. See, you are the future of the church. You will make a difference in the world and in the church. And so be sure that you hang on to those things. All right, let's get our songbooks. Never obeyed the gospel, and you know you need to. This morning we can help you in any way, make things right with God. Please come and let your wishes be made known as we stand together and sing this song.